Perry noticed them first. Hitchhikers. A boy and an old man, both carrying homemade knapsacks, and despite the blowy weather, a gritty and bitter Texas wind, wearing only overalls and a thin denim shirt. "Let's give them a lift," Perry said. Dick was reluctant. He had no objection to assisting hitchhikers, provided they looked as if they could pay their way, at least chip in a couple of gallons of gas. But Perry, little old big-hearted Perry, was always pestering Dick to pick up the damnedest, sorriest-looking people. Finally, Dick agreed and stopped the car. The boy, a stocky, sharp-eyed, talkative towhead of about 12, was exuberantly grateful, but the old man, whose face was seamed and yellow, feebly crawled into the back seat and slumped there silently. The boy said, "We sure do appreciate this." Johnny was ready to drop. "We ain't had a ride since Galveston." Perry and Dick had left that port city an hour earlier, having spent a morning there applying at various shipping offices for jobs as able-bodied seamen. One company offered them immediate work on a tanker bound for Brazil, and indeed, the two would now have been at sea if their prospective employer had not discovered that neither man possessed union papers or a passport. Strangely, Dick's disappointment exceeded Perry's. Brazil. That's where they're building a whole new capital city. Right from scratch. Imagine getting in on the ground floor of something like that. Any fool could make a fortune. "Where you headed?" Perry asked the boy.
"Sweetwater."
"Where's Sweetwater?"
"Well, it's along in this direction somewhere. It's somewhere in Texas. Johnny here, he's my gramp, and he's got a sister lives in Sweetwater. Least I sure Jesus hope she does. We thought she lived in Jasper, Texas, but when we got to Jasper, folks told us her and her people moved to Galveston. But she wasn't in Galveston. Lady there said she was gone to Sweetwater. I sure Jesus hope we find her."
"Johnny," he said, rubbing the old man's hands as if to thaw them. "You hear me, Johnny? We're riding in a nice, warm Chevrolet. 56 model." The old man coughed, rolled his head slightly, opened and closed his eyes, and coughed again. Dick said, "Hey, listen. What's wrong with him?"
"It's the change," the boy said, "and the walking. We've been walking since before Christmas. Seems to me we covered the better part of Texas."
In the most matter-of-fact voice, and while continuing to massage the old man's hands, the boy told them that up to the start of the present journey, he and his grandfather and an aunt had lived alone on a farm near Shreveport, Louisiana. Not long ago, the aunt had died. "Johnny's been poorly about a year, and Auntie had all the work to do, with only me to help. We were chopping firewood, chopping up a stump. Right in the middle of it, Auntie said she was wore out. Ever seen a horse just lay down and never get up? I have. And that's like what Auntie did."
A few days before Christmas, the man from whom the grandfather rented the farm turned us off the place, the boy continued. "That's how come we started out for Texas. Looking to find Mrs. Jackson. I never seen her, but she's Johnny's own blood sister. And somebody's got to take us in. Leastways him. He can't go a lot more. Last night it rained on us."
The car stopped. Perry asked Dick why he had stopped it.
"That man's very sick," Dick said.
"Well, what do you want to do? Put him out?
Use your head, just for once."
"You really are a mean bastard.
Suppose he dies?"
The boy said, "He won't die. We've got this far. He'll wait now."
Dick persisted.
"Suppose he dies. Think of what could happen. The questions.
Frankly, I don't give a damn. You want to put them out? Then by all means."
Perry looked at the invalid, still somnolent, dazed, deaf, and he looked at the boy, who returned his gaze calmly, not begging, not asking for anything. And Perry remembered himself at that age, his own wanderings with an old man,
Go ahead. Put them out. But I'll be getting out too.
Okay, okay, okay. Only don't forget, said Dick. It's your damn fault.